week, Pastor Jerry spoke about how do we know we're saved. Today we're going to talk about how do we know that we are forgiven. You know, this sounds almost elementary, doesn't it? It sounds like this is something that we should already know. But I want to know how many of you right now can raise your hand and say, you know that you are forgiven. How many can say that you know that you are forgiven? Okay? How do we share and teach someone else what it means to be forgiven if we're not sure about our own forgiveness? So how do we receive that forgiveness? Let's start out with the basics. In 1 John 1, 9 through 10, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." Now think about that for a moment. The Apostle John is saying that if we confess our sins to him, we are forgiven. If we claim that there is nothing to be forgiven, if we don't believe that we have offended God in any way, then the truth is not going to be in us. We are calling God a liar in his way of redemption for us. And the word has no place in our hearts. So see, we receive forgiveness by confessing our sins from our hearts. And that, you know, and I know you've heard me say this many, many times, there's a difference between what comes from the head and what comes from the heart. They're not the same. You say, well, everything comes from your brain. That's not the point. The point is, metaphorically, I'm saying that what comes from the heart exceeds what comes from the human thought. When we are willing to come to him, confessing our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he will. And that's where we have a hard time accepting that. We have a hard time believing that because we have a hard time with ourselves. But you see, if we do not know that we are in sin, or if we deny God, there is no confession. Without confession, there is no forgiveness. And I think that's very key here. I am a sinner. I lived in sin. Now I live in Christ. What makes that denominator? What brings us together to that point? How is it that we are come together in Christ? It's because Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sins. He paid the price for our sins. We confess that we have offended God, that we are falling short of his glory. We confess it, we ask forgiveness in the name of Jesus, and now we are forgiven. Jesus is the denominator. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us, it's not anything that you did, it's not anything that I did. The word says, who are we to say that it was anything we did, lest we boast? Paul said, if I boast in the Lord, because the Lord has saved me from death. The Lord has saved me from self-righteousness and a life of sin. So, now we know that Jesus paid the price for our sins. In 1 Peter 2:24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. You see, Pastor Jerry shared last week that salvation occurs when we believe and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's how we understand salvation. That we believe God. That we not only believe Him, but we receive Him and we confess Him as our Lord and Savior. But in believing, we confess our sins, all of the offenses against God, asking forgiveness of all of our offenses. So by the wounds incurred by Christ prior to the cross, remember that it was a process. The whippings, the beating that He took is all prophesied in Isaiah 53. He did all of that to bear the curse of our sin, and then He went to the cross, shedding His blood and dying on the cross to be the supreme sacrifice so that you and I can have eternal life, so that you and I are forgiven. There's nothing you can do. You can't go back. You can't make things right. But you can receive what God has offered you by receiving Him and believing Him. So you see, if we confess if we continue in our offenses to God, when we are not really saved, then we are not really saved, which means we are not forgiven. I wish this was sitting a little higher. I don't know how to make that happen. Can you help me with that just for a second? Okay. I'm going to fumble with words here. I haven't had my surgeries yet, so not that high. I should have known. Thank you. Okay. There they are. All right. So if we continue in our offense to God, then we are not really saved, which means we are not forgiven. You can come to church for years. You can be a part of the fellowship. You can be in the church, but you're not actually of the church. What does that mean? I think we have seen that in some of our pastors lately and some of our singers who have left the faith and they've been in it a long time. Mega pastors who step away from the pulpit and go their own way saying, I don't believe anymore. Well, how much did they believe in the first place? Because I happen to be the kind of believer that if you are truly saved in your heart and you know that you are forgiven, you will not leave the faith. I'm not saying you don't have some up and downs in your faith, but you will not leave it because you know that you are redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols, commit adultery, or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people, drunkards, or are abusive and cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord God. If we claim to know Christ and we continue in these things that the Bible calls sin, offenses against God, then in reality, you don't really know Christ. In reality, the Spirit of God is not living in you. Because you see, what happens here is that when we come to Jesus, if we truly believe that we are forgiven, Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, what did He say to her? He said, go and sin no more. And that is exactly what we are called upon. We are now called to a higher calling. Why would we put Jesus back on the cross, which is what we're doing, if we go back into a life of sin? So, true repentance leads to God's redeeming love, which brings forth forgiveness. You see how God is all a part of that process, bringing forth that forgiveness? You see, forgiveness from God and forgiveness from oneself are not the same thing. I'm going to speak about that in just a few minutes, about forgiving ourselves. And there's a difference. You see, sometimes we don't feel forgiven because we haven't forgiven ourselves in the process. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But true forgiveness fills our every being with praise and freedom from sin's burden. We become spiritually alive. We are now alive in Christ. We are no longer dead. We have gone from death, not only going to a grave, but receiving the second death, which means being sent into the pit of hell. We have now left that in Christ. And now we are redeemed. We are come to Christ. We are forgiven. And now we are heaven bound. You see how it's so different? How can we continue in the darkness of sin if we now have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Ephesians 1, 6 through 8 says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." This is the Apostle Paul talking to us. He has showered us, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. In other words, now he has given us through the Holy Spirit the ability to understand and the wisdom to discern the difference between what is holy and unholy, what is godly and ungodly. And if we do something that is ungodly, believe me, our conscience really convicts us that we have done something that we should not have done. You see, only through God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus, we are able to experience such a change. We know that we are forgiven. It's done. Jesus has already paid the price. We are forgiven. Only through God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus are we able to experience such a change, to know that forgiveness has taken place. Now comes the transition, and this is the part I want to get back to from before. Now comes the transition of forgiving ourselves. That's not quite so easy, is it? It depends on what we've done. For those who have come to Christ in an early age, and they have truly walked the walk, sometimes I think they're better off, don't misunderstand me, to have gotten saved when they were younger. But I think sometimes they have a hard time understanding why is it that people continue to beat themselves up after they come to Christ. It's not because God hasn't forgiven us, because he has. But the fact of the matter is, we have not come to the point of forgiving ourselves. You see, seeking transition from those who we have wronged, or seeking forgiveness, I should say, from those we have wronged, the Holy Spirit helps us in this transition. I did a lot of sin before I came to Christ, and I know what it means to live in a life of sin. I know what it means to be on the dark side of life. You don't go through a life like I started out with, especially as a teenager, leaving high school, my dad signing me into the military, saying, "Good, this is where you need to be because there's no room for you at home anymore." 17 years old. I'm in the military. My life really changed. But in that process, I made a lot of poor decisions. I guess what you call the learning by hard knocks. It's not always the best way to learn. I know what it's like to live in the filth of a sinful life, kind of like the prodigal son. So when I came to Christ at 26 and I felt that burden being lifted from my life when I came to Jesus and received him into my heart, even though I was biblically literate, which helped a great deal, believe me, but yet I still had the hardest time making a transition from self-condemnation to being forgiven, and from being forgiven to forgiving myself. I offended a lot of people. I did a lot of bad things. But yet somehow in some way God reached out to me and he touched me. He wanted me to become his child. I had come to the point into my life I thought, why would God want someone like me? Why would he want me as his child? I've kind of blown it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm in a position now where, what am I going to do? And where am I going to go? But yet, in all of that, God touched me and he healed me. He touched me. He saved me. And then I went through the process of forgiving myself. It wasn't easy. And then I went through the process of going to different people and asking them to forgive me for the offenses that I had done to them along the way because of my selfish, self-pleasing behavior. It was not an easy task, but God gave me the ability to do that through the Holy Spirit. And it was in that process that I began to realize and understand what it means to be forgiven. So that's why after all of these many years of ministry, there are people, if I share my story, some of them will come up to me and say, well, you don't deserve to be up on the platform. You don't deserve to call yourself a pastor. I mean, after all, look at where you came from. And I often will tell them very simply, excuse me, did you come out of your mother's womb with a Bible in your hand? I ask that question because the fact of the matter is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't care if you've lived a good life. If it's been a good life apart from God, you're a sinner. You don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. You can be the pinnacle of the community. It doesn't matter. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to the same hell as someone who lived like hell on earth. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to realize how much God loves us and the price that he paid on the cross for us in his son Jesus. You know, he didn't have to do that, but he did, as foretold in the prophecies of the Old Testament. The plan was already in place. Do you see how unique God is? You know, we talk about the all-perfect will of God. That's why, because God is all-knowing. He was, he is, and he is to be. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word will not come back to him void. And he promised us a way of salvation, and he promises you the same. He promises to give you the ability to be forgiven. That's a beautiful word, forgiven. You know, man, I work with several people along the way, and I have over the years, dealing with couples who are in marital trouble. And they are hurting, and one of the things that I find in every situation, in every marriage that is in trouble and perhaps even heading for divorce, this thing about forgiveness is not in their vocabulary. He did. Well, I may have, but she did. Well, I may have, but I'm right and you're wrong. You get it? And then farther and farther apart, couples become. And we see divorce rampant across our country and around the world because we don't understand this thing called forgiveness. And forgiveness truly comes when we first come to Christ and allow God to change us from the inside out. It's when we're changed from the inside out that life begins to change all the way around. We're no longer living the life of a hypocrite, but we are learning to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Jesus said, if you cannot forgive others around you, he said, I can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. So you see, it all comes from the heart, knowing that we are forgiven. Remember this, that God's promise, or remember God's promise when Satan tries to accuse you, and he will, and he does. When Satan tries to accuse you, go to Hebrews 8:12, write this scripture down and read it frequently. Jesus says, I will forgive their wickedness, God says, and I will never again remember their sins. You hear that? God has already forgotten everything you ever did. When people tell you when you go into heaven, you're going to have to give an account for everything you did in the past, only if you don't know Jesus. You are held accountable when Jesus doesn't stand with you. But you know what? When you go into heaven, God's not going to bring your past up to you. It's already gone. All old things are passed away. All things become new. So when you come before God, when you take your last breath in this body, and we all will, by the way, all of us are going to experience death in this body. But when that last breath is taken and you immediately are standing before the throne of God and Jesus is there with you, hallelujah, thank you. When God says to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? We don't have to say anything. Jesus will say it for us. You know why? Because Jesus is going to say, Father, he belongs to me. His blood, my blood has redeemed him or her. He, she belongs to me. And God is going to say, welcome into my kingdom, my child, because I see Jesus in you. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. I remember your sins no more. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I'm so excited about that. You know, just preparing for this message for today. You know, I was having a hard time during the week, and I told Mike, I said, I know I need to get my notes to you so that you can get them up here. But I said, you know, I'm just going into a block here, and I don't know why. And it wasn't until yesterday morning that, you know, just pleading with God, God, I don't know what's wrong with me, but somehow in some way I'm being blocked from bringing this message together. And that's when God broke that barrier that Satan was trying to make. And bless Mike's heart, he was here about 6 o'clock last night putting in my notes for today, which is kind of a rare occurrence, isn't it, Mike? And as a result of that, I know that the message here today is from God, and it is something that you and I always need to remember, saved in the blood of Jesus, redeemed, forgiven, and if God has forgiven you, forgive yourself and learn to go out and forgive others who have offended you. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you now thanking you for the time of worship. We thank you for your love that brings forgiveness into our lives. Father, so oftentimes we not only become self-judgmental, we become so judgmental of other people. Forgive us for that, Father. No wonder we sometimes struggle with knowing what it means that we're forgiven when we have a hard time forgiving those who have offended us. But Father, when I think of all of the offenses that I have done and others have done, and just for the asking, coming before you in spirit and truth, asking for your redeeming blood of Jesus to come and wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You did that. It was a free gift. We couldn't earn it. So, Father, you teach us that we need to do the same for those around us, especially those we associate with on a regular basis.
Yes. Yes.
That we would come around them and forgive them for offenses that they have done to us and that we have done to them. Father, we just praise you. We give you the glory. We thank you for your saving grace, being forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Pastor Dave. We are in this life as people who have become saved for the purpose of winning other people to Christ. That's the purpose of my salvation. It's not just me. It's for the kingdom and it's for his glory. And so when we know that we are saved, yes, we can participate. But when we know that we are forgiven, now we can help others know that too. It's a big piece to our walk with him. We're going to close with the song, Lord, I Need You. That forgiveness is real. It's accessible. It is ours to experience and to have. Father, for those in this room that might be struggling, those who might be online who are struggling with forgiving themselves or others, maybe because there's a recurring sin that keeps coming to their life. God, I pray that they would seek you, that they would find themselves in your presence, knowing that when we confess, you forgive. That when we realize that our weakness can only be overcome by your strength, God, in that moment, may we know that we are forgiven. And that through this, God, you will continue to build our strength, our faith, and that we will have victory. We will be overcomers. That no, Lord, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul, who said, I do what I do not want to do, for that which I want to do, I don't do. God, he was just as crazy mixed up at times in his life as we might be. Help us to do what we know we want to do and not do that which we know is wrong. That we would experience your forgiveness and the power of it on a daily basis, moment to moment. We love you, God, and we thank you for this day. Go with us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And from Jude 1, 24 and 25, name now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. Hallelujah. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.